In this episode, we're talking about foolish wisdom, so sit back and stay tuned for more. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Monday Moments, a show in which we take a deeper dive into Sunday sermon. My name is Travis, your host. With me today is Pastor Charlie, and we are talking about foolish wisdom. We are just beginning our sermon series on 1 Corinthians. Pastor James kicked the series off last Sunday, gave us a great overview of 1 Corinthians, what was going on in the culture, who wrote 1 Corinthians, who was Paul the writer, who was he writing to, in all of the really important context that goes into a letter like this, because as we will find out as we dive into the series more and more, there's a lot that Paul said to the Corinthians, and there was a mixture of do this, don't do that. But what is so cool, I think, is that Paul really approaches all of the specifics that he mentions. He points it back to the principle of the cross, points back to the principal way of living life. And you know, Pastor James' heart, I know, is to call this, kind of the handbook for holy living without getting lost in the weeds of the specifics, do this, those types of things. So, in continuing with this, the title of your message was Foolish Wisdom. And you piggybacked just completing that first chapter in 1 Corinthians. And so I wonder, for anyone who may have missed Sunday, maybe give just a real quick overview of your message.
Yeah, I don't think I actually mentioned my title when I was preaching yesterday. But yeah, Foolish Wisdom is what I how I titled it. And the idea is this. So when you look at the passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. Last week, James left off briefly talking about the importance of unity that's centered on the gospel message. And the bulk of my message yesterday was really on the gospel message. But that was a continuation, kind of like Paul's argument point for urging for unity within the church. So I started off kind of elaborating a little bit on what Paul meant by unity. It was this picture of wholeness. It's imagine a piece of cloth that's, it's one piece. There's no tear in it. But division is that tear. It's being torn apart. And so Paul is addressing that in this church. And the main argument why he reasons that such unity is so unfit, inappropriate, is because of the nature of the gospel message, as he calls it, the message of the cross, right? Or the cross of Christ. Because basically there were divisions and factions because there was so much pride, right? That the people within the church, as I mentioned yesterday, the believers in the Corinthian church, they were talented, they were gifted, spiritual giftings and everything. And I believe they were even well-meaning. Sure. But somehow over time, they got absorbed into their secular culture, this culture of boasting in human wisdom and strength and eloquence, the being able to have these philosophical arguments. And so they start to elevate those things, right? Those appearances, those giftings, and taking pride in themselves, and which caused factions that led to such division. And so pride really was, the core issue there. And the gospel message is the exact opposite. So that's the flow of thought in the passage. And that's what I kind of led me to that title and to that idea, because all Paul is arguing is, again, God's power and wisdom came through in a very, very different way than what they expected, what we would expect as human beings. It's nothing attractive or appealing. That the message of the cross is the opposite of all those things, what Christ has done. And the fact that God would choose people that are not attractive, that are weak, not influential, that God delights in using people like that for his purposes. So that was kind of the idea.
And, you know, over and over and throughout scripture, we see God doing that. And I think that's probably, if I had to speculate, why, you know, Tim Mackey from the Bible Project constantly refers to, you know, God's upside down kingdom.
It's not
our ways. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, how we would do things.
Yes.
And God even says, my ways are not your ways.
Yep. Right.
You know, elsewhere, the Bible says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound, mm-hmm. frustrate, mm-hmm. humble the wisdom of the wise. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the
another
example and expression of God doesn't do things the way that we mm-hmm. would think to do them. And so, you know, if you had to look at today's culture, mm-hmm. where we're at, and maybe say, here's how I see what was going on in that in that 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. church
mm-hmm.
happening today. And this isn't necessarily a mark against, you know, any church, anyone, anything.
Just
kind of looking at, I think human nature, right? In general, how do you see those these two things, where we're at today, connecting, coinciding, reflecting or maybe looking like 1 Corinthians church? How do you see those things being similar?
Yeah, I think when it comes to unity and division, unfortunately, I think just in general, the American churches exhibit more of those qualities than I think I would say in other parts of the world. And again, I'm not saying there's no divisions in other countries among their churches. No, it's not. There are different issues. But I think the key reason being because we have such freedom here.
Yeah.
We are honestly very comfortable here in America. Doesn't matter what people think or what people say, we are not persecuted in this country at all. Unfortunately, when that happens, when we get comfortable, you know, we start to get hung up on what I think are the minor, less important things. And so, and also there's so many churches in America as well. And it just over time, our flesh, our pride, right, working its way, and it just causes division in all kinds of ways, right, between churches, between denominations and you know, and within churches, right? Over, I mentioned in the message how, you know, Paul talks about quarrels, disputes and factions, and disputes start when I elevate my preferences over others. Factions form when I rally people around my preferences. So, you know, it's as simple as that. And it's so subtle as that, right? So I think, unfortunately, because of our comfort in this country, we tend to see more of that than I would say even more than like Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I follow some podcasts and some pastors and churches in Canada. And just the way they talk to each other and the way they relate and fellowship with each other, it just feels different. And I think it's because Canada is a lot more postmodern, a lot more secular than we are here, especially in Texas.
Right.
They don't have as many churches, as many healthy, you know, true churches that are serious about following Jesus. And when you don't have that many options, you stick together.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, I don't know if that answers,
sure.
But I think that's one thing that I see. But yeah, I mean, I said a lot of hard things yesterday from the pulpit, it just within our context, our congregation, and it's just an attitude check, you know, am I calling people to follow me? Right.
Yeah.
Rather than following Jesus.
Yeah.
So
I want to dive into, you know, why unity is important, you know, and even the hypothetical, you know, hey, what could it look like if the church in America were unified? But, you know, something you talked about, some of the Christians and churches in a place mm-hmm. like Canada, mm-hmm. right, and how they maybe think or act or behave differently than a lot of the churches that we see here, particularly in the buckle of the Bible Belt,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be careful. This is not in any way, again, political statement chastisement or anything like that. It's just, you know, in talking with people who are from certain parts of our country,
mm-hmm,
who, you know, they come from a place that, again, I agree, we're not persecuted, but
Absolutely.
Towards the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Compared to where we are anyway.
Exactly. You know, and they really do, like, they know their Bible.
Yeah.
They know their stuff. And even if it's, you know, I don't want to say just the foundation, because the foundation's like the most important.
Sure.
But even if it's just the foundational things, they are so solid and convinced of that.
Mm.
And they can really point to some things in a church that may not be so foundationally solid,
mm-hmm,
and say, hang on a second, that doesn't, something's not right there. You know,
yeah,
and kind of see some of those things and see how maybe, you know, a certain, you know, person or belief statement or theology or
mm-hmm,
preference or style or whatever might be a little, you know, left or right of center.
Ooh.
Because of where they have lived,
mm,
they just have to. They have to agree on that common thing of saying, hey, you know, the message of the cross.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's not going to be in the wisdom of my words,
right,
or the style, mm-hmm, or the music, mm-hmm, or the whatevers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to be based around, because that's really what matters most. So going back to something I think would be an interesting thing is, why is unity so important to the Lord? You know, when you can... When you can say, you know, oh, well, it's just a difference in music styles, or, oh, it's just a difference in this and that, or, you know, why is unity so important? What might it look like if churches were unified?
There's so many different ways to go about talking about that.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm just going to start here all the way to the source. Our God, right? The fundamental belief that we hold to about who God is, right? We believe that God is three in one.
Yep.
And I recently came across this quote in one of my books that I was reading, and I was so like wowed by it. Our God is one, but he's not alone. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Right? God eternally exists and existed in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet they're perfectly one. Like, we're not even talking about the three of them getting along.
Right.
They are somehow at their core one. Right. There's no tear. Right.
Yeah.
And then from there, you think that we are made in his image.
Right.
Right. As a community, as a people, whether it was just Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Right. Or all the way to the church. Like, we're supposed to reflect God in all these ways. And part of what it means to reflect the image of God, right, is to be one. And yet not alone. Right?
Yeah.
So I think even just that shows us that something is awfully wrong when we're not in unity.
Yeah.
Especially as a church. As a church, you know, we like to say our church is a family. We're a family because we share the same genes,
right? Yeah.
Spiritual genes. We've been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit,
right?
And so, I mean, even just from that point, I think that gives a really, really key perspective there. And then, of course, we can use some pictures like, again, like being a family.
Yeah.
Like, as a parent, it frustrates and breaks my heart, right, when my kids don't get along.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? When they're being selfish towards each other, like, just, oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know? And because we know that that's not the way it should be, that we know that that's not loving.
Right.
Right? So, what's different? Why should it be different in the church body? So those are some thoughts.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, going back to if we're supposed to be, you know, Christ represented as, you know, that icon. Yeah. We're supposed to look like him.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it make sense that we are one?
Exactly.
As God is one.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's, like you said, it's the mystery of the Trinity.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lots of good analogies out there, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's still kind of that missing piece of like, well, how do you have three distinct persons? Anyways.
That's a whole different conversation.
Whole thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so what is that? What kind of message does that say to the world? You know,
yeah.
If claiming that God is one, you know, the God we believe in is not three separate gods; it's one God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're unified, and yet we're quarreling, we're fighting, we're arguing over these things.
Yeah.
How is that affecting our witness or our representation of
exactly
of God?
God,
you know, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, if my kids, you know, were behaving in a way that they shouldn't, you know.
Right.
My kids are young, so
yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty tame situation right now. But anyways, you know, I think that there would be a tarnish,
absolutely,
you know, on our family name. Mm-hmm. You represent mm-hmm. us, you know.
Yeah.
And so, to carry that to an eternal,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. perspective, I think it should hopefully give us, you know, a whole lot more weight.
Yeah.
I think behind
right.
How are we interacting with our fellow Christians? And something I'd like to maybe dive into just a little bit is, maybe this is just an opinion.
No.
I don't think necessarily having preferences is a bad
thing. Uh-huh, no.
Mm-hmm. But I think the problem comes when we elevate those preferences, right?
Yes.
We elevate those beyond a position to which they should hold. So, having said that, how, if there's somebody, you know, watching this or listening to this and they're saying, got it, what do I do with my preferences? How do I walk in unity, even though I might prefer, you know, this style of worship or that style of preaching or this so-and-so or, you know, whatever. How do we walk in that unity with our preferences?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Whenever we talk about preferences, I think of ice cream flavors.
Okay, yeah.
I love anything strawberry flavored.
Nice, yeah.
And my wife loves mint chocolate chip.
Nice.
I think that's gross.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll eat it with her because I love her.
My oldest daughter likes mint chocolate chip too.
Okay.
It's weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you see that's the thing, right? It's not wrong for her to like mint chocolate chip more than strawberry, but obviously, it's going to be a problem if I insist that you're wrong and being bad.
Let me know how that goes. if you ever try
for eating, yeah. But in fact, because I love her enough that I would eat mint chocolate chip flavored ice cream with her.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a silly example, but it makes a point, right? We are we're different individuals.
Right.
You see, I think when people think unity or community,
right?
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people actually mean conformity, not actual community. Because a true community allows for diversity.
Sure.
Like God made all of us differently.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. Like if a rainbow only has one color, it wouldn't be a rainbow,
right?
Right. So, yeah, it comes down to that. I guess one, you need to learn to discern: is this a matter of preference, or an actual biblical principle that we're supposed to abide by? Right. There's that, and again, a huge dose of humility, humility that stems from love. Like even what we're just talking about, you know, siblings getting along, right? Or me willing to eat mint chocolate chip ice cream. It stems out of love, right? It's rooted in love. The Holy Trinity, they're one because because of the loving relationship, the perfect loving relationship that they share with one another. So yeah, so it again, it just comes down to that. Yeah, just like Jesus, am I willing to let go or set aside my preference to serve my brothers and sisters because I love them more than my preferences, more than my comfort, more than how I prefer to do things?
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard. And that's why this is a process of sanctification. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So, I think those are the key elements there.
That's good.
Yeah.
And just kind of wrapping up, you know, if someone's watching this, listening to this and saying, I need to, you know, implement this more in my life. I need to, whether it's, I need to reexamine,
mm-hmm.
how have I elevated my preferences, mm-hmm. who am I following, mm-hmm. you know, how have I, not encouraged unity, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
They're saying, I need to apply this more to my life. How would you encourage someone, in that? Like, okay, step one,
yeah.
do this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as with any and everything, you know, I think you need to go to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to just shine his light in your heart and show you, if there are, not just things that you've disagreed with other people, but if there is any root of pride, right, in our hearts, and he'll show you, he will lead you and confront you in those things. And I think another practical way that I can think of is make friends with people that are different than from you, right? And I don't think you have to go far to find those people. Just come to church and just come to church and meet and talk with people that are different from you, different personalities, different background, and just be curious.
Yep.
Just have an attitude of curiosity and start from there. Get to know them. Yeah. And you know, and just realize that, oh, wow, there are all sorts of people mm-hmm. around me that God has called me to love.
Right.
Right. And so build those relationships. And again, ask the Spirit to show you and give you the strength to know how to love those people and go from there.
Right.
You know? I think that posture of curiosity is really, really helpful.
Well, I think it all stems from, you know, Lord, test me.
Yes.
Search me.
Yes.
See if there be any wicked way in me.
Yes.
In me in the way everlasting. And time again, you know, the Lord is so faithful to do that.
Yeah.
And I can speak, I'll speak from my own personal
experience. Yeah,
it's a whole lot. I'll just say, it's a whole lot easier when you ask the question first instead of the Lord saying, hey, probably shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? When it's like that voluntary humility instead of being humiliated.
That's true.
But anyways, yeah. And I think that we would be pleasantly surprised, I think, to find out how much we might actually agree on.
Yeah.
Even though it might look a little different, we actually might agree more than we disagree.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, and I think of so many times that I have been in other places and, you know, we're taking communion and it might look a little bit different, but it's communion.
Yeah.
You know, and there's that unifying aspect.
Exactly.
Even though it looks different, it's still the same. We're still worshiping this God through that element, you know, of that particular tradition. Yeah. And so.
Well, one quick thought, when it comes to, you know, fostering unity, especially in the church context, here's another thing we have to keep in mind. If you know that you have been called by the Lord to be part of this church body, then you've been called to love the people that's in this church, whether you like it or not, regardless of your preferences and their preferences. And so we have to fall back on that.
Yeah.
On like, okay, am I certain that this is where God has planted?
Right.
Then you need to embrace it.
That is such a good litmus test. You know, am I choosing a church because of my preferences and because it's what I like, or am I choosing a church because I'm asking the Lord, God, where would you want us to be planted?
Yeah,
that is such a good test right there. And I thank you for mentioning that maybe the Lord would, you know, cause some of those preferences to line up, but maybe he calls you to a church that maybe it doesn't always line up with their preferences for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And so that's such a really good, thank you for sharing that, interjecting that.
Yeah.
And thank you for taking some time out of your day.
Absolutely.
Diving into your message. It's a good conversation, and it's such an important foundational step, I feel like. And thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments. We hope that you got a lot out of this. If you did, please let us know. We love, love, love to hear from you in the comments. Send us an email, a message, however you can reach out. We love to hear this kind of feedback from you. Thank you so much again for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments, and we will see you next week.